Hey family, my name is Danny. I'm an addict.
Danny.
I just want to say, I'm very grateful that the committee here asked me to share out here. And whenever I was driving up here, I was thinking about how much life has changed since the first time I came to Narcotics Anonymous. I came out this way. I was in Johnstown in 2011. And that was the first time, I was in a treatment center. And that was the first time I ever stepped foot in a door of NA. And back then, I wasn't willing to appreciate what Narcotics Anonymous was and had for me. I would come to meetings and I would see everybody laughing and smiling and hugging each other. And I'm like, why are they doing this? Why are they happy? They lived this horror of drug addiction and now they're genuinely happy. I just couldn't fathom how much this program has to offer us and what it can change us into of being the person that we were designed to be. So I love this IP, the Triangle of Self-Obsession. I was thinking about it, about how, it starts off talking about how when we're born, we're these children. And, whenever we're younger, we need people. We depend on, our caregivers, our parents, whoever's around to help take care of our basic needs and to mold us into, hopefully, decent human beings. And somewhere along that way, I know for me that things changed for me. And I didn't feel secure in the, environment that I was in. And that ultimately is what started my diseased way of thinking. When I was about 6 years old, I endured, a lot of trauma within my household. My mother suffered from mental health issues that caused episodes of psychosis. And in those moments, whenever I needed that security that the literature talks about, I didn't have it from her. And I had no idea, obviously, because I was that young, but I had no idea that that was going to set me up for years of searching for that security in all the wrong places. So as I started getting older, I resented my family and my household because they weren't there for me when I needed them. So I started searching for things outside of myself. The IP talks about how children, as they grow, they start becoming independent and they start finding, purpose within themselves instead of outside. And I found my purpose outside with drugs and people that were on the same destructive path as me. And I felt whole in that. I felt like that was my place. I was supposed to do that for the rest of my life. So it carried on into active addiction. And the self-obsession piece, throughout using, all I cared about was how I was gonna get high, how I was gonna get over on people, how I was gonna manipulate them. I could have cared less about how it affected them. And coming into recovery, I've done a lot of work. I've put a lot, of thought into things. And the biggest resentment that I have held on to is the resentment toward myself because of the belief that I should have been acting a different type of way than what I was. I lost my father when I had 3 years clean back in 2018. And at that time, all I could think of was the guilt and shame of I ruined this man's life for so many years. I had so much resentment toward myself and I was angry at myself because I wish I could have been that light in his life instead of the darkness. And from that moment though, that moment of grief and resentment, I was able to grow. Our heart has to break for it to heal and get stronger. Just whenever we go to the gym and work out, our muscles have to break and then they get stronger and stronger. So every time something bad happens in my life or I go into a dark place, I have to find hope in that place. So I think of, I'm on step two right now with my sponsor. And throughout it, she keeps saying, live in the square, live in the square. The NA symbol is centered around service, self, God, and
society.
I kept forgetting that word. But these are all the things that are gonna, help me in my recovery. I have to place my belief systems within that. Otherwise, I'm living in this triangle of self-obsession, of anger, resentment, and fear. Like, I've had a lot of stuff going on in my life lately, and I've definitely been living in the triangle. And so, like, I have a lot of, you know, environmental stuff. I'm not living in a safe neighborhood right now. There's been a lot of, like, gun violence going on, and that is something, like, I never lived with. Like, I'm from, like, these little suburbs in Pittsburgh, and, like, I used drugs, but I wasn't part of, like, I didn't encounter things like that, especially, like, in my backyard whenever I have multiple years clean and I have a child and a dog to think of, and my safety. Like, I care about my safety today. When I was out there using, I didn't care what I was going through. Like, I had this skewed, like, perception of reality where everything was fine. As long as I got high, nothing bad's gonna happen. And if it does happen, I'll just get higher to deal with that. So, like, lately, like, I had to, like, reach a bottom of my self-obsession. Like, it started out, like, I call it a mental breakdown, because, like, it just builds and builds and builds until I start, like, trying to take people down with me. Because I've always liked, whenever I'm miserable, I want people to be miserable with me. I want them to come down to my level and be one with me. And but, like, that's not the way reality is supposed to work. So 2 weeks ago, specifically, the last straw was, like, these kids, you know, like, I get tipped over the edge and then all hell breaks loose. These kids cut the cord to my clothesline outside. And, like, it's the kids that associate with all this crazy stuff going on. And I, like, it's like a switch flipped in me. Like, I started, you know, I went to Home Depot and I got all this stuff. I'm like, screw it, I'm gonna make a clothesline inside the house. So I start, like, drilling holes in the walls, hung them up everywhere. And I'm like, I'm gonna get them. And, you know, my significant other, you know, I don't know if he likes to think it or not, but, like, I'm the handyman in the household. I know how to do all this stuff because, like, that's part of, like, I want to get everything right. I want to be the one that knows how to do stuff. I like that control, and it feels good to have that control. But in reality, like, I should be one with my partner. Like, I should be teaching him how to do these things. Like, I don't have to have the upper hand. So, you know, we're trying to put up these makeshift clotheslines, and, like, he's doing it too rough. And I'm like, you gotta go slow. And it goes from that to, like, just, you know, totally degrading him, like, calling him names, things he doesn't deserve. Like, I'm freaking out, so I want you to feel the same sense of, like, anger as I am. And, you know, later that night, I walked into a meeting, because this is how my higher power works in my life. That night, all I wanted to do was sit there in my shit and cry and be angry at the world and hate everybody else because, you know, I'm going through something. I don't need to reach out to them. They should have this, like, spidey sense that, like, I'm falling apart, but that's not how this program works. Like, I have to reach out to, you know, my support for them to know something's going on with me. And I also have to get to the point where, like, I accept that nobody is going to be there the way I need them to be all the time, and that's where God comes into play. Because when nobody's available, nobody's around, even though I could get on the phone, I could get on Facebook and find someone to talk to, but, like, I have to rely on my higher power to, like, set in and take over my spirit, or I'm going to be living in the spirit of self-obsession. So, you know, later that night, I went to this meeting. A friend of mine from, like, 2 hours away, she said, hey, girl, I'm in town, come to this meeting. And I'm like, shit. I'm like, all right, I'll be down there in 10 minutes. And, like, I walked in. As soon as I walked in, that anger and resentment was still, like, fuming inside of me. And, you know, my best friend walked in, and she just got done. She was, like, floating on a river all day, getting suntan, all this stuff, having fun. And, like, I just wanted to do nothing more than punch her in the back of the head and say, do you know how much I'm hurting right now? But I didn't. Like, God was like, shh, chill, don't do this. You don't need to do this right now. You came to a meeting. Go find the person you came to love on. So I did that, and I got a hug. And when we hug each other in Narcotics Anonymous, it's an addict's exchange of one person's love to the other. And it's so powerful just to, like, come in and get a hug from somebody. You know, I struggle with, like, social anxiety. So, like, stuff like this is like so foreign to me, but like I do it because I need to get that message of hope to the newcomer that they can overcome anxieties and fears of like people. Because I came in here and I didn't know how to human. I didn't know how to talk to people and, you know, not have a conversation centered around like, what are you getting tonight? Who can you call? It's like, I don't know. I try to be that vision of hope that no matter like what your mental health status is here, that you can, you know, stop using and find a new way of life. So with that, like, you know, I went a week without talking to my sponsor. Can I get that water? So I tend to like, whenever things are going wrong and I'm not spiritually fit, I hold it all in and refuse to talk to the one person that I know is going to give me the knowledge and experience to help me through that, because I don't want to hear that. I'm self-obsessed at that point. I don't want to hear what you have to say to get me out of that, you know, feeling of comfortability of being angry at people, because that shit's comfortable for me. I know what it feels like. I know how to sit there and hang out and take naps there, but like, you know, I finally called her after that meeting, after I went to that meeting and got around the people that I know can help me. I called her and I just word vomit everywhere. And she's like, okay, honey, there we go. You feel better now? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, well, don't wait a week next time. And I'm like, okay. And that, like, it's just crazy how, like, at certain points in our recovery, especially based on, like, the step work that we're doing, and like putting that work in. Because like going to meetings and doing all like the outside, you know, external stuff is one thing. But it's like when I go home at night, what am I doing? Am I like scrolling through Facebook for hours, watching TikToks for hours? Because if that's the case, I'm probably gonna, you know, not be spiritually fit. So whenever I, you know, reach out to my sponsor, tell her what's going on. Like, I've been in this, like, triangle of, like, my own made prison so many times in this process, and I've gotten to the point where, like, I'm in the fetal position because I allow myself to get to that point. I don't want to get into the solution. And, like, things have happened over the past few years. Like, I have, you know, had relationships with people. I've lived double lives. Like, I worked in a treatment center at one point, and I had a using addict living with me for a whole year. And, like, I would go to work, talk all this good stuff. You guys should do this, live like this. Don't talk to them men. Meanwhile, I have this guy overdosing on my couch constantly. And, like, the thing is, like, I wasn't telling my support group about that until the point where, like, they came into my house because I was so, like, obsessed, self-obsessed that I was taking it out on everyone else. I was starting to become that person that I worked so hard to get away from, that diseased person that was sick. I was trying to get away from her, and I started walking towards her again until my support, my we came to my house and they threw a drug test at me and they were like, take this, because you might not be getting high, but like, you have all of the defects coming out of you that portray somebody that is still using. And like, I started crying and crying, and like, I wasn't mad at them. And like, I was so grateful that I had people in my life that wanted to lift me up instead of bringing me down at that point. And like, for any of my friends, even though like, when our disease is on us, like, we don't want that healthy support. I know I don't. I don't know some people that don't. But like, I want to be that type of friend to somebody that calls them on their stuff and wants to see them live. Like, I don't want to see somebody die in front of my eyes, whether they're spiritually dying, physically dying, whatever it may be. And like, that's what I hope from like the people that I have in my life. Because the beautiful thing about this program is that like, we have the choice today and the freedom to choose who we allow on our path. And like, I am starting to allow myself to connect with people with like time and knowledge and experience, because if I'm sitting in a circle and every single person is, you know, sick, every single person in that circle is sick, how are any of us supposed to get help? So we have to start incorporating into our circles like the people that can help us out of these self-obsessions and our resentments and our anger. And I'm just like, you know, with this whole like dangerous neighborhood situation going on, my sponsor was like, do you want to live every day like you're going to die tomorrow, or do you want to live every day like you're going to keep on living tomorrow? And I'm like, man, I don't want to live every day like I'm going to die. Like, who wants to wake up in the morning and say, yep, I'm going to die today. As soon as I walk out my door, I'm getting shot. That's not, like, setting myself up for success for that day. So that's where, like, getting in tune with my higher power comes into play. Because, like, these insane decisions and thought patterns and behaviors and reactions I have are all based on self-obsession. My insane decision-making is based on my wants and needs other than practicing goodwill and, like, what's good for everyone around me. I've been studying this symbol a lot lately, and it is just so powerful. Like, if you haven't read into it yet or even, like, looked at it, like, it's beautiful. Like, it's the blueprint for how I need to be living my life today. Like, do I want to live in that negative side, or do I want to live in the square? And I'm just like, put me in the square, please put me in the square. And like, I pray throughout the day whenever I'm starting to feel like angry or resentful. And I'm like, God, please just get me in that square, get me in that square right now. And like, guess what? Like, my attitude and toward life and reality and my perception, like, starts changing to that square instead of the triangle. I don't know, like, I'm just really grateful to be here. Like, I've never shared on like larger platforms like this before. And it's just like mind-blowing to think that like a little sick girl came into this process, and like I'm surrounded by people that like I don't know, but I know there's love in this, I almost said room, but this pavilion. Like, there is so much love. Like, I love every single person in here. Might not know you, I might not know, like, I might not like your like personality, but like, I'm able to love somebody and practice these principles over personalities. Like, it took me a long time, 6 years or so, to figure out what that really meant. I thought it meant like thinking about like what your principles are and like how they affect your personality. It's like, no, it's like how I am perceiving you. Am I coming out to somebody with love or disrespect? Like, I have so much respect for this disease. Today, like, I used to say, like, I hate the disease of addiction. I hate it. It's terrible. Because I think of it like this little, like, gremlin that, like, follows me around all day and is just, like, trying to, like, trip me up and get me to fall back into using. But, like, I respect it in the sense that, like, this shit is so powerful. But I respect it just like I respect the higher power of my understanding. I respect the fellowship. I have to respect this disease, too, because I understand that at any time, like, it can flip me over on my back and like a turtle, and I won't know how to get up until somebody from these rooms comes and flips me back over. And like, I'm just like so filled with gratitude, and I don't know, that's all I have.
Thank you, Danny. I'd like to introduce the second speaker, Jason R. from the Simple Solutions Group of NA in Johnstown. Jason Addict.
Hey, Jason.
I got my literature here in case I go down some rabbit holes, and I can have the literature right here to bring me back to the topic. I got to say, like always, this retreat is right on time for me. Life right before the retreat is like pushing me to my limits, and next week is real bad, and this is like, this is my place. So like, I gotta share this. 12 years ago, one of my best friends said, we're going to retreat. It was my first day clean. And on this, the key word is we're, okay? So he packs me up, drives me out here, we set up this tent up in the field in front of Brocker Hall, and he gets in his Jeep and says, I'll pick you up Sunday, and drove off. And I was like, I didn't know anybody. You know what I mean? I knew a couple people from Indiana. And I hated them for that. But like, the miracle is I got to celebrate here last night. You know what I mean? Like, that's the most amazing gift somebody could have ever gave me, to celebrate at our retreat. Because like, I'm sorry, this is the best retreat that there is. You know what I mean? Like, I've been to a lot all over, out of state, and this place is just magical. This year, just before this, just like every year I've been here, we're talking about, we got to move this place. You know what I mean? We got to move. There's things, the cost, and then like, just wait till tonight when we're sharing around campfires and the crickets are chirping And, like, that shit's priceless. Like, this place is magical. I get it. I get the reality of, like, financially responsible with NA funds and all that. But, like, the magic that's going to happen tonight around campfire meetings, well, maybe not because we don't have fire pits anymore. But but just this place, I mean, you'll feel it tonight if it's your first time here. It's just amazing. But my topic's the triangle of self-obsession. And, you know, a previous speaker talked about that, like, somehow we don't progress. Like, all our needs are met. And, like, I learned at an early age, like, my mom took care of most shit. But then when I started getting to the age where, like, my friends were getting jobs, like, getting that little work permit so you could leave high school and go to work, I found out that if I signed up for sports, my mom and my parents would still meet all my needs. So I did sports year-round. You know what I mean? Like, why would I want to get a job when I can have all my needs met? Do you know what I mean? So I never learned that. I never learned that independence. I never learned going out and finding what I need on my own. So I got to share. I got here. I'm not doing 90 meetings in 90 days. That's just way too much. You know what I mean? I don't know about the sponsor thing. And then I found somebody who gave me hope. It was like, if this guy can do it, I know I can. Do you know what I mean? That was that hope shot. Like, he was way worse off than I was. So, like, I asked him to sponsor me. Because I was like, how'd you do this? Do you know what I mean? And it was, like, the most amazing thing. Because I didn't know how to do anything but use. You know what I mean? If I woke up and I slept wrong, my neck was cranked, I needed to use. You know, I needed to use if things were going bad or things were going good. Do you know what I mean? And I honestly didn't know how to live. Like, my whole life was using. Like, I worked to use. And it was like, in my first 90 days, I was like, I thought about this as soon as Nikki told me my topic. So, like, the first time I shared, I didn't share for a minute. I was going to meetings, I was doing a 90 and 90, but didn't know I was doing that. It was just started to be fun, going to meetings every day with my sponsor. First time I share, after meeting, somebody comes, I can't remember who it was, comes up and hands me the IP triangle of self-obsession. I was like, I don't know what this means, but I don't think it's good. So, like, by the time I hit 90 days, three different people in three different towns, Johnstown, Indiana, I don't know where else, came up to me and handed me a triangle of self-obsession after I shared. And I get into my sponsor's van after the meeting. We're driving home. I think we're in an out-of-town meeting. And I'm like, these bastards keep giving me this IP. And he says, did you read it? And I was like, no. He goes, well, maybe you should. You know what I mean? But at that time, I read it. But I wasn't ready for that message. Like, it didn't compute. Like, when I read the steps on the wall, it was like the first time I tried to read the damn Bible. Like, what language is this? Like, powerless was not a word in my vocabulary. I come from football, wrestling, martial arts. You know what I mean? Like, the word powerless was so foreign to me. Like, it just didn't come up. You know what I mean? You trained and expected to be the best. And there was no powerless, and there was no surrender. That was another, like, foreign word to me. I was brought up like men handle their own shit. You hold all your feelings inside. This was my role models, my sensei. Like, I'd watch him just stuff everything, then explode. Like, break every golf club in his bag because he freaking missed a putt. You know what I mean? Like, just that's what my role model for men was. Like, we didn't talk about feelings. You know what I mean? I had a lot of relationships with guys that were teammates, like, that a boy, good job. And it felt like family sometimes. Like, football didn't, but wrestling felt like it was my family. Like, I'd go out and put it all on the line for them, but it still wasn't, like, an intimate relationship. Like, I couldn't just tell you anything I was thinking. And it talks about the self-centeredness of a child. I didn't understand this. Well, when my daughter was 16 months old, ugly breakup, I got custody, and when you go to be a single parent PA, you have to take this hugs class. And the guy was teaching us that, like, when our kids are, like, three, they think whatever they want is what we want. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I want a Wonder Woman doll, Dad must want a Wonder Woman doll. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the way they think. Their brains are, that's the development shit that I didn't know anything about. And then I'm sitting there playing with my daughter, and she's like, mine. It was that mine phase. And I was like, I can do this all day. Mine, 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 mine. And I clicked. The self-centeredness of a child. I get it. You know what I mean? Like, in real time. Like, that's how thick I am. But, yeah, and then, like, I always, when I think of the triangle of self-obsession, how much time do I have? Wow, it's early. The set of tools, I talked about not having a relationship with another guy. Like, that started breaking down with my first sponsor. Because, like, I knew this guy is, like, a freaking outlaw, like, enforcer, like, you know, somebody you don't mess with. And this dude's talking about having anxiety and being depressed and having fear. And I was like, I didn't know you were capable of fear. Do you know what I mean? I remember you. Like, who are you? You know what I mean? And like, with him talking about that, that let me say some stuff that I wouldn't have said. Do you know what I mean? And then, like, dude, I know you don't know what powerless is. I've seen you, like, run people the whole way down the bar, face first, knocking everything over. You know what I mean? I know you grew up where I did, like, help me with powerlessness. And then God helped me with powerlessness because I wanted nothing more to stay clean. I was on fire. I was about to pick up my first 30-day key tag ever. And I found dope in my wallet. And, keep in mind, I got searched going into Allegheny County Jail. I got searched going in the detox. Everything got searched going in the rehab. And somehow, there was still dope in my wallet. And when that shit hit the palm of my hand, I wasn't capable of not using it. And, like, that was the moment powerlessness kicked in. That was the moment the first step started making sense to me. Because, like, I didn't want to use that. Mm-hmm. I did not want to use it, but it was in the palm of my hand and it was game over. And I kind of knew that I needed to, like, start doing something so if that situation ever happened again, that I wouldn't use it. Or I could at least call my sponsor or call somebody and ask for help. And, you know, that happened. It was the night before I was celebrating 6 months. My sponsor told me I wasn't allowed to work the steps for 90 days, which were addicts. That made me really want to work the steps. Everybody else's sponsor's like, start the steps, start the steps. And they're like, I gotta start these steps. I was like, I can't wait to start the steps. Because he told me I wasn't allowed. You know what I mean? That's all he had to do to make me want to. But it was the night before I turned 6 months. And I was like, I gotta knock step one out by tomorrow. So I was gonna stay up late and do it. What? Oh, this is my process. And I came to the chapter in the step guide of reservations. And it clicked in my head. And I remembered that I, like, stashed. There wasn't drugs. There was cottons. But there was shit stashed inside a computer. Like, when I was leaving Pittsburgh, I threw everything in it. And I was like, I can't finish this section on reservations until this is gone. And I called my sponsor like really early in the morning and we went and dumped it in a dumpster in Indiana. But like, I felt like I needed to do that. But like, being able to actually reach out to somebody and say like, I can't do this myself. Do you know what I mean? That was like a big moment for me. And I started building a relationship like him with him like I never had before. And then some stuff happened. Life showed up in his life. Some good things happened. He was out of the area and didn't have service, so I had to switch sponsors. I mean, I just needed to do it for me. I wanted nothing more than to celebrate a year with this guy that, like, helped save my life, but, like, I wasn't going to make it to a year. I had 9 months, and I wasn't going to make it. So I had to get a new sponsor. And then this is the second time, and that relationship through working steps started building a closer relationship with this guy. And I was able to... It got to the point where I could say anything that I thought. You know what I mean? Like, I could talk about my feelings and what was going on inside me and everything with another guy. And I was like, I never experienced anything like that. You know what I mean? It was my first on that deep of a level. And, like, for me, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be talking about Triangle, but I got to talk about sponsorship. Like, I know a sponsor is supposed to guide us through the steps, but if we walk through that process with somebody and, like, share all our shit and they share it with us, a connection and a friendship is made. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the way it works for me, at least. You can't go that in-depth into your life and spill your soul and not form a relationship with that person. At least if, for me, it was the right sponsor to do that with. Wow, there's still like a half hour left, huh? So, resentment, anger, and fear. That's what, before I even read the Triangle IP again, I always flip it over to look at the, you know, moving from resentment, anger, and fear to acceptance, love, and faith. This was huge. I shared with you, a lot about how, like, I had moments in life. Like, I couldn't comprehend this shit until I was in a moment in life, where I started using it. And, the way the fear to love worked for me was, like, I was thick. Every time anything happened, I'd call my sponsor. And I'd be like, what do I do? What do I do? You know what I mean? Like, the world's on fire. I got a kid on the way. Nobody will hire me because I'm up against 12 felonies. You know what I mean? Like, and we'd always have this conversation, and he'd never tell me what it was. Like, he'd never tell me an answer. Maybe he was using motivational interview. I don't know. No, but he was going on to, are you acting out of love or fear? If you make this decision, is it based in love or fear? If you make this decision, is it based in love or fear? And we did this for like 2 years. Every time the shit hit the fan, what do I do? My ass is on fire. And it would be the same conversation. The one time shit hit the fan, and I went to reach for the phone. I was like, this bastard's just going to ask if the decision's based out of love or fear. If I do this, and I did the whole process myself, like, without talking to him, because he was just going to say the same damn thing he's been saying for the previous 2 years, but I was like, oh, well, my ass is on fire, I can make my own decisions. You know what I mean? I can walk through it. Acceptance, I have a funny story, like, I don't know. So, somebody told me, like, you know, a lot of acceptance is accepting other people where they're at, who they are. And, like, because, like, the resentments build off that. So, they told me, who's the most... who gets under your skin the most in the fellowship? And I told him, it was my first sponsor. I don't think he was sponsored. No, he was. And I told him, he's like, you need to join this committee. I was like, why? They're on it. And they're like, what we're going to do is you're going to practice acceptance. You're powerless over them. Just like you're powerless over that dope in the palm of your hand, you're powerless over that person's actions, how they think, everything. So what I want you to do is fulfill a commitment, because we don't take commitments without filling them here. And you're going to... Dude, that like worked for me. Like, you know what I mean? Understanding that I have no control over anybody else's reactions, thoughts, anything. And, like, the best thing I can do is accept everybody for who they are. And that's how we love each other. You know what I mean? That old saying, we might not like you, but we love you. And it also taught me, like, understanding a group conscience. Do you know what I mean? Having the unpopular vote. I joined my home group. We started my home group, I don't even know, 6, 7, 8 years ago. And I was like, oh, these two dudes are lunatics. I better join. I was like, yeah, this is Johnstown. We're a mess. But being three people in a home group and being the only one that thinks that way, that was group conscience. And because I learned some group conscious stuff by being on different committees at area and stuff, I was able to understand and, like, not get pissed out, run out the door, and quit the home group because, like, things didn't go my way. anger. I don't really have an anger story. I'm generally low-key. If I do explode, it is bad. But it doesn't happen very often. I've been working a lot on meditation. I guess anger usually comes out of fear, because we know, you know, defects all lead down to fear, but, like, my anger comes when my brain is too overwhelmed. And, like, step 11 in meditation is really helping with that, like, improving meditation. I didn't sleep very much, so I was trying to meditate before this meeting, and I was trying to meditate and not fall asleep, and it was really difficult, because I have to close my eyes to meditate. But, like, it's been making a real big difference in my life, because, you know, I speak outside of the fellowship a good bit, and I've gotten up there with my mind so overwhelmed that I can't, it doesn't work, and I've been finding that, like, oh, what the fellowship teach me? I gotta go meditate, pray up before I speak. And I did that in the professional world, and it worked out amazingly. You know what I mean? Like, the fellowship, you just take what you learn here. Show up a half hour early, stay a half hour late, pray before you open your mouth. You know what I mean? Like, I was able to take a lot of the stuff I learned here. Turn sideways. In faith, I talked about that hope that first sponsor gave me, like, if he could do it, maybe I can. If he did it, I definitely can. I made it through this without getting high. It was my second sponsor. I made it through something really tough, and he said, that just builds character. Now you'll know you can get through anything. And that's what it was for me, that hope that I had turned to faith. That, like, with the help of this fellowship and the people in this fellowship, because, like, I know I hit a crisis once and I made it to the 7th person on my contact list that I could think of calling before somebody answered. It was midday. You know, people work, people have lives. And I didn't think this dude was going to give me very good advice, because he definitely wasn't my 1st through 6th choice to call. He told me exactly what I needed to hear. You know what I mean? And that's, like, the amazing part of this fellowship. And I find for myself that, like, as we learn these principles and work these principles, they get easier most of the time, to where, like, it's easy to live a lot of the principles that I've worked in the steps and really focused on, like, 90% of the time. I don't know if we ever get to 100%, where, like, we can just carry spiritual principles all the time and never react. Yeah. I thought that as I was saying this. I don't think I'm going to be able to ever get that to 100%. But if I can get that to, like, 99%, to, like, practice these principles in all my affairs, like I said, like, it went up real quick. To, like, 50% of the time I was able to live these principles and do what I was supposed to do and not have anything to do with my daily inventory. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it was all good. And then that number keeps going up, and I have less and less days that I have any amends to make. But I don't think that'll ever get to zero. I don't think I'll ever go 365 for 365 without owing an amends. I just don't think that's going to happen. But I know that if I keep doing what I'm doing, it's going to get better, and there'll be less and less amends that I'll need to make. I think that's all I have. So please enjoy this retreat. It's, like, the greatest place on earth. So thank you all.